Hey, good morning, church family. Thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time out of your Sunday to listen in. And if you don't recognize my voice, this is Reed, and it's great to be with you in spirit. Really quick, I just wanted to mention a couple announcements. Even though we're not meeting together, the church expenses are still continuing. And as a result, we covet your tithes and offerings through this season and would pray and appreciate the continuation of those. There's still many ways for you to do that. You can offer those online on our website. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 98 here in Avalon. And furthermore, I've been able to be a part of the Lord's Cupboard, the food pantry that's been going on. And it is amazing to see the continuation and really the expansion of that program. The need is incredible. I think last week we served just about 150 families. This is remarkable. I think we reached over 600 individuals as a result. And so the program is expanded exponentially, and as a result, it's been amazing to see the outpouring of support and love, donations, time. And if you're interested in any of that, get in touch with myself or Dan Hunke. We would love to get you plugged in. You can donate food physically at the entrance to the teen center. You can donate again in financially, and thirdly, in your just time. And so that is a great program that's been continuing serving this community in a very real, real way. All right. I think that's really all for the announcements. Oh, and I'm sorry, I forgot one more. We're still meeting together via technology. I know the men's group, Wildman West, every Monday night has been able to join on these Google Hangout video calls, and the women are also doing similar things throughout the week. So get in touch with Pastor Andrew or Carol if you're interested in either of those. During the season, I personally have really appreciated the opportunities to get plugged in, get connected. Even though it's just over video, it's still an amazing opportunity for fulfillment, for just that connection that I know many of us are so craving. Hey, and during these times, obviously, we encourage you to fellowship, to worship in your own way, too, with your family, with your spouse or significant others. We encourage you to worship in whatever way fits your situation and personalize it a little bit. But for now, we've got some beautiful worship for you today, so please join us as we sing together.
Love. We turn our attention to you. I love the series that Andrew's been speaking into. If you have our attention and our worship just turns to you, our thanks, our dependency, our trust onto you. And so much of this can feel into our worship. And this is, again, that helps us in our battles because of our connection with you, Lord. We love you. We just thank you for the gift of worship and the gift of the truths of these songs that we live in, that we connect to. We thank you that you walk this life with us, right there in the midst of the things that we're in. We love you. In Jesus' name.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. to me. There was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears a burden where another died for me. There is another in the my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be
need, Lord, that we are all in, just all over the world, not just in our own little homes, but we pray, Father, a prayer of thanksgiving, just to say thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being the Almighty, ever faithful, all-knowing God that you are. Thank you for the examples that you set for us in Scripture and the proof that we have in our own personal lives, in our own personal testimonies of your faithfulness and the fact that you are with us and you promise us that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for these promises. Thank you for the truth of who you are. Thank you that we can count it joy in this battle right now. We love you and we come before you with open hearts and open minds as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Oh my goodness.
Before the fiddlers have fled.
Classic Nat King Cole there. I don't know about you guys, but he's one of my family favorites. I grew up listening to Nat King Cole in our home. My dad was a jazz pianist, and music was playing around our house all the time, especially Nat's music. And I was listening this week, just felt like changing it up a little bit, putting a little something in my step, and I thought of Nat King Cole's famous song, Let's Face the Music and Dance.
Let's face the music and dance.
Nothing more appropriate than what we're dealing with right now in the quarantine. We got to face it. We got to look forward to the things that are ahead, not be scared of them. We have a lot of our nation that are stressed out as this crisis has shown itself out and played itself out in so many different scenarios, from those that are grieving to those who are just in confusion as to what the new norm is going to be when all of this changes. Yesterday, the president announced his plans for reopening the country in a phase three project and all that's involved in between and the timeline for where we live versus other parts of the country. It's coming, but it's very pressing as well. And so let's face the music and speak faith as well. Speak faith through all of this. Welcome to part four of our quarantine series called God, You've Got Our Attention. This is Pastor Andrew. A very special welcome to you on our Sunday, April 19th, 2020. Today's sermon title is Let's Face the Music and Dance and Speak Faith. I also want to send out a shout and welcome to our Avalon community. Maybe you're not a part of Avalon Community Church, but you're listening in today, and I just want to say thank you. Welcome. And I appreciate you taking a shot in the dark just to say, I wonder what this is all about, this God stuff, and just checking us out. This is really, really important to us, and we're so glad that you just took the challenge and you're listening today. Hey, keep it up. I invite you back. You may have questions along the way for sure. I know I still do. The Bible, when you read it, definitely provides answers, but there are questions that come up. That's how you know someone's reading the Bible. And I want to welcome you. And a very special welcome also to our Avalon Church members, both here in the town of Avalon, and for some of you across the miles, our seasonal residents, and others in the state of California, and some just listening from the other parts of the country or the world that are Avalonians. We miss you guys. And I can't wait to see people in person. As much as I appreciate this technology and able to record in my jogging shorts at home here, I still miss seeing you guys face to face. And I'm reminded last week from the Easter message, Rick Warren spoke this really neat, this comment he made, this really beautiful comment that said, although we are apart, we're not alone. It meant a lot to hear that, and I want to welcome also those that may feel that way that are in our coves listening. Maybe you're in a cabin or a bungalow along the coastline of Catalina Island in one of our cove camps, and you're a staff member listening in this morning. You're not alone, okay? We may be apart, but we'll see you in Avalon very, very soon. This whole thing's going to start changing. Keep your head up, face the music and dance, and speak faith. We're going to move into our timeline here past Easter. I'm looking at Luke chapter 24. Grab a Bible. I don't know about you, but a lot of folks are using app Bibles now. It's on your phone, an app Bible, where you can choose different references right there with just a few snaps of your finger. But if you have a copy of Scripture sitting around the house, grab that. Nothing better. I'm looking at the New International Version of Luke chapter 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament. Verse 13, which reads, "Now the two of them, on the same day, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?' 'What things?' Jesus asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. I don't know. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. Verse 25, Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Verse 28, "As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them." Verse 30, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Can you imagine? "They asked each other, 'Oh, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" Verse 35, "Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." My friends, in all of this story, one verse, this week really has resonated in regards to abandonment more than any other. So many folks feeling abandoned. So many folks feeling as if this is starting to work on me. I cannot get here where I want to be. I cannot visit with this person or these that are most vulnerable. I cannot make contact. Look at verse 21 of Luke 24. "But we had hoped that he was the one to free Israel," it says. "But we had hoped that he was the one to free Israel." We see here that things did not play out as Cleo and his friend had hoped. Their hope was that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. instantaneously, like get her done. Hey, there's been several things in my life that didn't work out as planned. This international crisis is obviously the biggie right now. But I have things in my personal life that have happened and crashed, and I'd love to share some of those things with you and relationally get some conversation going. You know, I don't even know how many of you are even listening to this broadcast. Our church does not have a way to measure that, and I would really be encouraged to hear from you. And write this phone number down. Here's my cell phone number. Once again, Pastor Andrew here. Cell phone 727-415-1670. Feel free to text me and say, hey, I'm listening, and this is how the Word of God went out into my heart today. Or if you would like for me to share with you some of the many things that have not worked out in my plan, that I had going on, I'd love to chat with you about some of the things that crashed and burned in my life. And maybe the two of us can start a conversation that is a little more deep and a little bit more real. But feel free to text me that, because this has to happen. We have to have communication on that level. To be realistic, all of us go through stuff. And here's some other real-life examples for some people out there. Maybe you had hoped to retire in that dream job, but right now you're unemployed. Yeah. Maybe you'd hoped for love and understanding in your relationship with your teenage kids, huh? And right now they're not even speaking to you. They're so upset having to do this homeschool thing, and they can't connect with their friends outside running around doing the usual. Maybe you'd hoped that your marriage was going to fulfill every emotional need in your life, but you just signed the divorce papers. You had hoped, but that hope had disappointed. The Bible says that Jesus felt everything that we feel so that he can have empathy for our weaknesses. And I mean the whole concept of Jesus being fully God and fully man and still be perfect in all things. It's hard to grasp. So now we ask this question. How in the world would Jesus ever have his hope disappointed? Well, looking back on our timeline just for a minute, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, once again from the New International Version. And verse 46 reads this: about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In our study of the one verse that I'm looking at right here, it literally stands out in this discussion regarding abandonment. Facing the music, facing the tough situation, this verse is both troubling and confusing. When I read it for the first time, and as a kid trying to figure out, what am I reading here? The Son of God made to feel abandoned? Are you serious? And see, I didn't understand back then how sin, all the weight of our sin, the whole world at that moment hit our Savior on the cross, and God turned his back. But there's some insight from Scripture that goes a little further. This is interesting. Flip back one chapter to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 39. The Bible says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And here Jesus is asking in the Garden of Gethsemane, isn't there some other way? This is the hope. This is the definition of it right there. The definition of hope right there. And one chapter later, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Wow. Here in this verse, 26:39 of Matthew, Jesus is asking the same question that we ask in our struggle with our faith right now, especially in this quarantine. The question is, why? And this might be the question that you're asking right now. Why is this happening? Why am I still stuck in this depression, etc., etc. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. My friends, do not prejudge the journey. However, what are we supposed to do if we're mired in a particular struggle that in and of itself is a difficult journey that you don't want to be in the first place, where you're so afraid of what the future holds that you don't even want to take the next step? Bad news is I'm not able to give you an answer or an easy answer regarding this. That's for sure. I wish I could. What I can share with you, though, is my particular journey. So make that connection. Give me a cell phone call or, a text on my cell phone and let me know if you're listening. I would love to hear some of your journey. Let's compare journeys. Let's talk about story. And let me know that you're listening. Let me know what your story is. And I'd love to get back with you. Sometimes things don't always turn out as we hoped. Everything we had hoped for sometimes comes crashing down on us, and we're left asking this question of why. Even during this moment of crisis, I want you to know, as your pastor and from our staff at Avalon Community Church, we love you, we are praying for you, and we will do anything for you. The Bible has some great insight from Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Romans 4:18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19 says, "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. But verse 20, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God." I love that. He was fully persuaded that God had power to do whatever he had promised. This passage of Scripture is telling us how to walk in hope. Romans 4, 18 through 20, bank on it, stick it on your mirror, put it on the fridge. This is walking in hope. There's going to be some facts that you and I are going to have to face. Difficult conversations, decisions about finances, if you haven't had to have them already with the family talk there. Colleges. A lot of colleges may be going online next semester. Nobody knows. Maybe surgeries that are needed. Your marriage. Decisions about treatments, purchases, your health, all of it. Don't shy away from these decisions. You're going to have to face the music. You're going to have these difficult conversations. But face the facts and only speak faith. Only speak belief. So how do you face the facts of life that you would have never have chosen? And that still war against your faith as well. The kind of facts of life that turn your world upside down. Well, I'm going to give you three things that Shelley and I have learned, at least while we've been together for 30 years. We've learned a lot, okay? But here's three that we definitely can tell you. One is, face the facts, but fight your feelings, okay? I wish I could say that from that moment on that, you know, that peace and confidence when things were going on at that very moment that were not good, that peace and confidence just flooded my soul, you know, where our feelings and our faith were on the same page. But honestly, this has not happened in many cases where I was tired of being strong and struggled trying to drown out the resounding why in my head. My brother passed away a couple of years ago, almost 3 years ago, and I went through an awful lot of sadness. I just had that resounding why in my head. And I was able to overcome hard questions, why questions, once I focused on the who, where we made a decision to feel my faith and fuel my faith and pivot my heart, but yet be honest with my feelings. That beautiful passage of Scripture in Romans 4, 18 through 21 that we just read about Abraham. You know, for 25 years, there's a lag between God's revelation and what Abraham had hoped for. He had to wait 25 years just to get something. He was able to do this by, you know, loving God with all of his heart. And the Word of God came alive to him. He would worship him. And these are weapons to fight with, where you're not meant to fight alone. But the Word of God and worshiping him are great weapons. Face the facts and don't forget God's faithfulness. Just because the results are not instantaneous, it's still a miracle, okay? We learn to rejoice in those delayed victories in the past, Shelley and I. Additionally, just because maybe you achieve victory in battle does not mean that you're without scars. Maybe you've come through something, but man, it was very painful. I will remember and stay focused on our Father. I can get through this because God has done this before. He has brought people before through this time. He has brought people through. Great passage of Scripture here. David is crying out. Psalm chapter 77, verses 1 through 12. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 12 in the New International Version says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, verse 7, will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Verse 9. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Verse 11, yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. David pushes through. He may not be getting an answer or even the answer he's looking for right now, and he's persevering in battle and he is pushing through. My friends, when we focus on the good things that God has done, our voice becomes stronger and we become steady in our faith. So often I spend so much energy fighting my facts, where God says, I am here. Just look at me. Know that God is with you in the pain, in the struggle. And God wants you to see the facts from his perspective as Paul sees them in this passage of Scripture here that we looked at, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. The jars of clay, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Hard-pressed on every side, crushed, not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. Your facts don't tell the whole story. Jesus was abandoned by his Heavenly Father so that you would never have to be. So that when you feel alone, you're not alone. When you can't answer the question why, you can take heart in knowing that God is working all things for good for those that are loved and called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here are the facts. God is faithful, God was faithful, and God will be faithful. We've all had setbacks and difficult situations in our lives. Once again, I'd love to know, what are some difficult facts that you've had to face in your life? Share your emotions and feelings when you were going through a situation. If you don't have the ability to get back with me or text me and start a conversation, wherever you're meeting, in your church or your small group, feel free to share and open up. Connect with other people, especially right now, as so much quarantine is isolated so many people, and it just feels that way with their personalities. My friends, when we feel abandoned and against all hope, I want you to face the facts, but speak faith. Let me ask you how you can prepare now. How you can prepare now for the new norm, and only speak faith when things come up that are going to be really testing you. Or how about in the next difficult situation that you're going to face? Maybe it comes tomorrow in an email. Maybe the check doesn't come in that you were waiting for, and it's delayed even longer than you expected. Psalm 77 verse 11 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." Let me ask you a question. What are some deeds or miracles of God's faithfulness you experienced in the middle of a situation that seemed without hope? Your facts don't tell the whole story. Jesus was abandoned, so we would never have to be, like we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. Let me ask, if the three ways that I just shared to face the facts and situations where we ask the questions why, which one challenged you the most and why? Of the three ways I shared with you that Shelley and I face the facts in difficult situations, which one challenged you the most and why? Facing the facts but fighting your feelings? Facing the facts but don't forget God's faithfulness? Or face the facts but focus on His face? This week, what step can you take to speak with faith when feeling without hope? My wife sent me this really cool song on my my phone, and I've been playing it ever since. It's put out by Cade Thompson. It's a beautiful song in regards to God's promises. I'm going to fire it up and give you a little sample of it right here real quick. I think you'll love it.
I can't remember the last time I was content, and now I wonder, how do I get there again? Why am I clutching and grabbing at all the things that I don't have when you've given me everything? Why am I searching my feelings, thinking I know what I deserve, when the answer is clear to me? 'Cause what you give me, Lord, is more than I desire. You're my provider. When I lose my way, lead me through the fire, you're my provider.
Such a great song. Once again, this is Kate Thompson. The song is called Provider. Look it up. You can YouTube it for free. Cade Thompson, C-A-D-E, Thompson. The song is called Provider. What a great song. Father, I ask on behalf of those that are listening today that you'll continue to show your mercies to their individual concerns and needs. And Father, I thank you for being the God of the universe. You already know those needs. You already know what people are going to ask before they ask it. But man, Father, show yourself. Comfort those that are mourning. Comfort those who are grieving. Comfort those who are stressed, and their employers too. The ones that are in their families, the relations that are there, relationships, and all that are in the worlds of our online listeners. Father, bring your mercy. Show your face. Provide for our needs. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for those who have taken the time to listen to this, and may the scriptures today change someone's life. And may someone listening today be different as a result of hearing your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war, and you come back with a hand of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. gonna stay still.
Thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Just how good those words are to sing that, but to let it be true for us, that we can come to believe that you have not failed us, nor will you leave us, but you are truly faithful, and that we will see you show up again and again and again in our days, in our weeks, in our lives. Lord, we're just thankful that you're that active and engaging God that you are, not distant, not far from us, but deeply committed and faithful to bring the good into our lives through the good work of Jesus Christ. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great day.